Let's go to the word of the Lord in 1 Corinthians 2, 7 through 10. I put 9 on the screen. We'll read one more verse. We'll read verse 10. If they can add it, fine. If not, I'll read it out of my Bible here. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but if you will listen to this closely tonight and how it's laid out, it's quite different than perhaps we've thought and preached for so many years. And I'll explain it to you and hopefully open up our understanding better to what God can do now in your life, today. You know, what He's going to do in our life to come is wonderful. And that's all that way we live to go there. But right now, you know, we have struggles in this life. The Bible says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, that's intentional. The Bible is written like a mystery. Who's he talking about? Who's the sower? Who's the seed? Who's the fisherman? He writes this intentionally that you might seek for the answers and not just, oh, there it is. You have to seek for them. So we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Not to his glory, our glory. Which none of the princes of this world, none of the rulers of this world, none of the high-powered people of the world knew. No matter how wise they were and how much degrees they had, they didn't know it. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known it. They saw it. They heard it. But they did not know it. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Their eyes saw it, their ears heard it, but they didn't know it. So he's saying, eye hath not seen. Didn't he say many times, he that hath an ear, let him hear? But they're prepared for them that love him. And verse 10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us. Now see, we've always looked at, eye hath not seen, ear's not heard, all the things God has prepared for them. We're thinking about eternity. We're thinking about all the stuff up, oh, the walls of jasper, the gates of pearl. No, he's talking about right here. He's talking about right here. They saw me, didn't know who I was. They heard me, didn't know who I was, because they didn't know me. But if you know him and you love him, if you love him, you know him. You can't love what you don't know. So, oh, I love you. If you don't know me, you don't love me. But if you know me, you have a chance to love me. But God hath revealed them unto us, those that love him, by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep, the mysteries, the hidden things of God. Woo, I wouldn't want to be without the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even those deep mystery things of God, and reveals them up unto us. Not the things up in heaven, but the things we see and hear on earth is ours today. I want to preach for a little while. You don't know what's in store. You don't know what's in store. Unless you know him. Amen. Lord, I come before you tonight. I'm thankful for your mercies and your blessings. I'm thankful for keeping us today, those that are sick and those that are among us that are bereaved. Lord, you know what they need. They need you. They need the comfort that the Holy Ghost can bring, and only the Holy Ghost can bring to the life of a man. Let your Spirit, Lord, intervene for their woes and their miseries, God, that they're having during this time of bereavement. We do ask, Lord, that you raise up those that are sick and those that are afflicted, that they may give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Most of the time, when I go to a store, I know what I'm going for. And I go and I get what I'm going for, and then I'm gone. Now, ladies, a little different sometimes. They can tell you where everything's at on everything on every aisle almost. And so when I go to a store, I kind of know what I want, and I And so by only looking at what I want in the store, I don't know what else they have in store. Because I don't take the time to see what else is in store. Are you with me already? And I pass right by things that are in store and never even could benefit me greatly. I could say, man, I needed that. I've been fooling with this way. And if I just would have known that. But it was in store. And I didn't know it. I saw it, maybe. I looked right, but I didn't know it. That's what they did with Christ. He came, and they didn't know who his own received, didn't even receive him. They didn't know what was in store for them that love him. And so sometimes when you just kind of slow down and browse the aisles and go slow, you go, check that out. Well, I'll be. I didn't even know they had that in the store. And so sometimes if we would just slow down, I know what I want from God, I know, and just slow down and entertain the Spirit of the Lord and browse the Word of the Lord and pray, just kind of sit down, just kind of just let it flow and spend a little time browsing in God, you may find there's some things He's got in store that you had never tapped into. We all about healing. I need my healing. I need this. But there's a lot of things God's got in store that His people are not taking advantage of. And the house of God is a storehouse. Did you know that? This house of God, I preached about the belongings, right? Last time, and we belong to Christ. See, the Bible says we are the sheep of His pasture. We belong to Him. Sheep belong to shepherds. And so I belong to Him. I belong in the storehouse of God's goods. And so the storehouse is a place where you know you're going to get things here you won't get any other place. It's a storehouse. Inside of this house, there is peace. Inside of this house, there is joy. Inside of this house, you'll hear the word of the Lord that you like you won't hear it any other place. Tell me another place other than a church you're going to hear the word of the Lord like this. And you're not going to find it. And so what's in store in this house will take me through famines that come through life, famines and droughts that go through my. I can find something in the storehouse to carry me through the hard times in life. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, David said, if it had not been I had a storehouse to go to and had stored up, the one writer in the Bible, I think it was Peter, said they have stored up a foundation. I got a foundation in store. If things get rocky, I go back to my foundation. What I was raised on and what I believed all my life, I'll go back to that before I get shaken off of my own tree. I'm going to go back to what I know works. And so Jacob said this when he woke up. He said, this is none other than the house of God and the gate to heaven. And the Bible says, and God blessed him there. The storehouse is a place of blessings. That's what happened at the store. It said, this is none other than the house of God. And God blessed him there. He blessed him at the house of God. And that's why it's so important that you tend the house of God. You're going to find things in this storehouse you will find no other place in the world. It's stored right here. Inside of this storehouse, the storehouse is a place where you store things till you need them. Right? And inside this storehouse is what you need to take you through family famines. You know what I'm talking about. Marital problems. Teach you this thing here in this storehouse, you learn how to raise your children. You learn how to be a good employee. I mean, you learn everything at this storehouse. Malachi 3:10 is when we normally say storehouse, a lot of people's minds jump to the tithing. And I want to read this scripture and explain it in Bagot terms. Bring all. Somebody say all. Bring some. It says bring everything, bring all the tithing into the storehouse. Bring all the tithing into the storehouse. See, I know a lot of churches that have two storehouses. I'm just being honest with y'all. They have two storehouses. They have the one for the pastor, and then they have the one for the church. That's not what it says. It said, bring all the money, all the tithing into the storehouse. Because a storehouse is a place you store things until they're needed. And it's not a place where I have my own storehouse and I live out of my storehouse. But that's what happens. The people have the administrative account and they live out of that storehouse. That's not biblical. And it's not right either. I'm just going to say it. It's not right. Because you bring it all into one place and out of there it goes to wherever it's needed to go. Now, I want you to watch this. Bring all the tithes. What is tithes? It can be money. Most of the time in our society, it's money. In other ways, other places, they brought other things. And he said, bring the tithes in the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. He'll take the tithing and turn it into meat. A lot of times what you put in is not what you get out. Cast your bread upon the water, return to you after many days. It's not going to be soggy bread that returns. It's going to be something in another form. Even where Christ went into the grave, he came out in another form, a glorified form. So when you give carnally, if you will, if you give the things that you got from the working in the world, you give them into the storehouse in a physical way, they come back in a spiritual way. So he said, bring all the tithe in the storehouse that it may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you shall not have room enough to receive it. That means there's an empty room somewheres. That means your room is empty. You won't have enough room to get back what you put in. See, if you put in, he said, what he's saying is you get back. That's what he's saying. If you put in the storehouse, then you can draw back out of the storehouse a whole lot more than you put in that storehouse. So he says, bring it all in the storehouse, and then I would bring it back out to you through the windows of heaven. And so this hidden wisdom and hidden wisdom of God and mysteries of God that they speaks of. He said this was done for our glory. So when you give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, heaped down shall men give unto your bosom. There's a hidden wisdom in giving. But you don't see, if you say, well, I'm going to give so I can get. It won't work. It doesn't work that way. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, He hath made everything beautiful in his time. I read this the other day. Also, he hath set the world, meaning eternity, in the hearts of men, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. What he's saying is God made it so that he no one can know what he has in store. God made it so that you cannot figure out when God starts something where it's going to end. Because if I knew that I was going to be in Carlos, Louisiana before my phone ever rang, I would have said, but I'm going to Carlos, Louisiana. I'm going to get ready. Go to Carlos, Louisiana because I'm going there. And I would have been ahead of God. Because when he lets man know what's in store, man has a tendency to mess it up. So God said, I know you want to know eternity. You want to know everything about it. But you don't know what I got in store. And so I'm going to keep you, let you know as we go, but I know how the story ends. The Lord knows. And he says in this text that the princes of this world, they saw, they heard, but they didn't know it. And so they crucified what they didn't know. They perhaps loved God, but they didn't love Christ. And so they crucified him, not knowing that he was God in flesh. And Christ was the hidden mystery of God in flesh, and they knew it not. And the scripture tells us, as we quote this famous scripture, eyes have not seen, ear has not heard, neither entered the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. The key in this thing is love him. Because whatever he's got, he's prepared only for them that love him. He has things in store for you because he loves you. You've not seen yet. You may have prayed about him. You may have thought about him. But God doesn't let you know what's going to happen. He leaves it in store until it's time to be revealed. And so the princes of this world didn't know it. Now, I got a story to tell you tonight about Jacob. Because Jacob was a prince with God. Jacob was, he was Israel. What was Israel? He said, I'm going to change your name from Jacob to Israel because as a prince with God, you have prevailed. And he changed his name and again blessed him there. But can I tell you that even the prince of God with God did not know what God had in store for him. A prince didn't even know what God had in store for him. And so knowing that Jacob thought that his son was dead, he did not know that he was living in Egypt, and he did not know that he had become the governor of Egypt and was over all of the land during the time of a famine that had swept all the land, including the land that flowed with milk and honey. Canaan land was the land that flowed with milk and honey. Well, let me tell you, it stopped. It stopped. It was going through a famine just like everybody else was going through a famine. And so Joseph was over in Egypt and he interprets a dream for the Pharaoh, and he had this disturbing dream, and it was two times, and we won't go through the stories, but Joseph interprets it that you're going to have 7 years of plenty and then you're going to have 7 years of famine. And he said, now Pharaoh, if I was you, here's what I'd do. If I was you, I would save during that time of plenty. Don't eat everything. Don't squander it all. Don't say, hey, we got so much. Let's just eat twice as much. He'd say, I'd save some of it and put it aside in a storehouse. And he had storehouses. And he said, that's what I do. So when the time of famine comes, we can draw from what we've saved. That sounds like retirement to me almost. And so the Pharaoh says, well, I wonder who would be a good guy to do that. How about you? And he sets Joseph to be the governor. God had something in store, more than corn. Can you say amen? Amen. And so in the time of plenty, while everyone was consuming, Joseph was storing and setting things aside. I met with a young lady today. I went to Lafayette, and I thank God that he protected me going there. As soon as when I was on my way, traffic kind of slowed down, and I'm like, okay, something going on. And I got up there, and there was an 18-wheeler flipped upside down. You couldn't even see the cab. I mean, it was just like just all tires up in the median on the right. And I didn't realize. I thought, well, it's been there a long time. It must have just happened. And I didn't even realize. I saw a few other cars stop. I didn't think about it. There's no cops. There's no ambulance. It must have just happened right ahead of me. Because it didn't, from here to the kitchen, the car slowed down. So that's how close. And it's coming back. Now, that was 10:30. It was probably about 10:15. No, about 10 o'clock. And coming back, I came back at 12:30, 1 o'clock. There was a line of traffic on that side for miles. So that lets me know it must have just happened. And I had to thank the Lord. I prayed for whoever was in that situation, but I had to thank the Lord that I had to stop and get gas. Because I didn't know what could have been in store. Didn't know. And so Joseph puts up this corn in a storehouse. And sure enough, after 7 years, things begin to dry up. What brings a famine is lack of rain. Don't matter how much many seeds you got if it doesn't rain. And so the famine hit and everything began to dry up. And the Bible says, and Joseph opened up all the storehouses of Egypt. He must have been like the Amazon of Egypt. Had all these warehouses, these storehouses, and he opens them up and it drew people in like crazy. And the revenue began to flow because they were the only ones that had corn. But I was going to tell you this. I met with that young lady this morning, and I told her, I said, ma'am, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. And I told her, financial, because that's what I'm a financial advisor. I told her, I said, if you do this with this, I'll be dead and in my grave. But you'll wake up at 60 years old and you'll say, that old man was right. If you'll just do what I tell you to do. Because you have to store it. I said, you can spend this, you can do whatever you want to. But if you'll store it and add to it, there'll come a day you'll be glad this old man come and visited with you. So Joseph has stored this up, and now he opens up the storehouses, and guess what he's selling? Corn. He's selling corn, and he's selling corn, listen close, for money. So what's coming out of the storehouse was corn. What he's receiving is money. But after a while, you keep reading, the money failed. And it said their money failed. They ran out of money. So Joseph said, boy, he was smart. And he said, okay, don't you have some cows and some oxen and stuff? Yeah, well, I'll take that. I'll take that. And so he started trading corn for beast. And after a while, they ran out of beast. And he said, do you own that property that you're on? They said, well, yeah, but I had it in my family all the life. You want corn? And they said, yeah, we're going to die if we don't have corn. He said, property, please. And he got their properties. No, he's not through. No. This is not the end of the story. So after a while, they ran out of land. He had bought everything. And they come to them, they say, we need more corn. We're out of oxen. We're out of corn. We're out of land. We're out of beast. We're out of everything. He said, do you know how to work? He said, yeah, be our slaves. And he bought them. He bought them. This is what will happen during the time of the mark of the beast, by the way. I don't have time to preach on that. They'll buy you. They'll own everything because you have to have them. That's what will happen in the time of the mark of the beast. Deny everything. Take, if you want to live, here's, okay. And so he actually turned the other countries into their slaves. He bought their souls, you might say. And so this widespread famine is throughout the land of Canaan, throughout all these other places, and it was perhaps the Great Depression of that day. And if you've known anybody that's gone through the Great Depression, one thing I can tell you about anybody that's gone through the Great Depression, and I've been doing my business for almost 30 years, and I've talked to a lot of people that went through the Great Depression, they have a sock somewheres. They have something hid somewhere, because they're going to tell you, I ain't going through that again. It may not last long, but I'm not going to be caught like that again. Because they got in line to get flour and food stamps and rations and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not that ain't happening again. Well, Joseph had accumulated all this stuff, and everybody had run out of corn, including his daddy, including the prince of Israel. The prince with God. Do you know what it's like to be God's chosen and be in a famine? He was God's chosen man, and yet he was in a famine. And there's a lot of us today, if we're not careful, we'll live in a famine and be God's chosen people and be living in a famine because we're not in the right place. And so many times God will reposition us. So when we read Genesis 42 and 1, and when Jacob saw... Remember, eyes have not seen, ears not heard. When Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, why do ye look upon one upon another? It's like the four lepers that said, why sit here till we die? We can look at each other till our ears fall off, but we're not going to get any better. So why sit here till we die? And he's got 10 boys. They're all talking about it and all saying, daddy, we're out of corn. And we actually had 12, but only had 11 of them with him, which included Benjamin. And they're all discussed. He said, we're out of corn. Why are you going to keep talking about it? Let's do something about it. I heard that they have corn in Egypt. And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die. How much longer are we going to stay in this famine knowing that they've got corn over there? So he took what he had, which was money. He was pretty wealthy. But money won't do you any good if there's really a great, great depression. You better know how to do collard greens and green beans and cucumbers. Amen. So Jacob really doesn't know what's in store. He's heard there's corn in the storehouses of Egypt. So he thinks that this is all about corn. But can I tell you, Jacob really doesn't know what's in store. He tells his 10 sons to take this money, go down to Egypt, buy some corn and bring it back, and maybe it'll last long enough till we get out of this famine. So they go to the land of Egypt and they deposit their money and they get corn back out. Amen. And when you read the third verse, it says, and Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt, and Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. I think he was more worried about them 10 boys than he was the people in Egypt. I don't think he trusted them. He was afraid to lose him. He said, if I lose him, you'll send me to my grave. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those. Now listen close. They came. This is God's chosen 12 tribes of Israel. And they came to buy corn among those that came. Get in line. But I'm God. Get in line. But don't you see, I'm Dan. I'm Judah. Get in line. So they came among those that came, and the famine was also in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over all the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down. We're just there for corn. No, you're there for what's in store. You're there to fulfill a dream that a young man had when he was but a lad. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God had in store. And they bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth, just like the two dreams. My. So God governs my brothers and sisters who's over his storehouse. God put a governor over that land, and he was the one that was the controller of what went out to the people. And Joseph's brothers came, and they bowed themselves down to the governor and gave obeisance. And Joseph saw, verse 7, his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them and spake roughly unto them intentionally. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. Oh, my God. He knew who they were, but they didn't know who he was. He was recalling all the things that happened. And guess what? Those 10 boys did not know what was in store for them. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed of them. I'm sure there was times he said, if I could just forget this dream. It's bothering me because it doesn't look like anything's going to happen. But can I tell you right here that Joseph didn't know what was in store for him either. And said unto them, ye spies, to see your spies, to see the nakedness of the land, ye are come. And after testing them for a while, and you know the story, we won't belabor the point. Joseph opened up the storehouse. He gave them the corn. They go back and forth. And chapter 45 and verse 1 is what brings it to a close. And Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them, knowing it was his brethren that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. I preached a sermon one time. The pain may never go away, but you can learn how to carry it. He carried that pain with him. He held it in. He went on with life. And if he would have told the story, I'm sure he would have cried. There's times and things I tell some people in my life, and I'll catch myself weeping by just telling you what happened. So I don't want to talk about it. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians of the house of Pharaoh, they heard him. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Can you imagine those 10 guys? You have got to be kidding me. I am Joseph. And he said, doth my father yet live? Is daddy still alive? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. We never dreamed. See, they didn't know what was in store. They thought when they put him in the pen, they'll never see him again, in the pit, never see him again. But let me tell you, you don't know what's in store. He'll later say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You don't know what's in store. And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me. Woo, imagine they pray, where's that sword at? come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, and let's make it clear whom ye sold into Egypt. Oh, yeah, same guy. Now, therefore, this is what I like. He didn't let them grieve. Now, therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with not yourselves. They didn't know what was in store. I'm sure they thought they're going to get, they're not ever going to see their daddy again. These guys are going to put us in prison. Don't be angry at yourselves. And I can tell you, don't be angry at yourself. There's things we've all done. You're going to be like, you idiot, what were you thinking when you did that? You knew better than that. Don't be angry with yourself because you didn't know what God had in store. It's sometimes these things that brings you to God. Don't be angry with yourself that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. I didn't know what God had in store either. When I was in the pit, I had no idea I'd be in the palace. I had no idea I'd be the governor of this place. For these two years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be an earing nor harvest. Nothing. There won't even be nothing even gonna come on the vine. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And told him, saying in verse 26, I'm gonna jump down to 26. They go back, these boys go back, and they tell their daddy, saying, Joseph is yet alive. And not only that, Daddy, you're not gonna believe this. He is the governor of the land that has the corn. He is over all them storehouses you've been hearing about in the Amazons. He owns, he's in control of all of that. Governor of all the land of Egypt, and Jacob's heart fainted. Why? For he believed them not. See, I told you he didn't trust them. He didn't trust them. And we'd read on and say, you bereaved me of this before. I'm sick of this. I don't want to hear about it. And they told him all the words of Joseph. Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, all the things that God has in store. Jacob did love God. He did love God. And God had something in store for him in spite of everything he did, in spite of the conniving things he did. He loved God. God has things in store for them that love them even when they mess up. They told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him. Now, I've kind of taught before that when he saw the wagons, and the wagons had all kinds of goodies in there and all that kind of stuff, that's not when his spirit revived. When he saw the wagon which Joseph had sent to carry him. When he saw that there was an empty wagon to take him to see his son. Eyes have not seen, because he didn't know he was alive. But now he knows he's alive, so now he can see, and now he can hear the things that will be revealed unto him by the Spirit. And the Bible says, and the spirit of Jacob, their father, was revived. Wow, what a story this is of hope. Amen. And he was reunited with his son, and he had no idea what God had in store. Joseph had no idea what was in store. And as they come tonight, I want to tell you, you have no idea what God has in store for you. What I want to tell you is love God. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And some of these things you think are never going to happen. I'm never going to see it. Yes, you will. You just got to keep believing and loving God. Jacob's expectation was to get corn, but he got more than he had hoped for. That's all he wanted was corn. That's all he thought he was going to get was corn, and he got his son back. God had something in store more than corn. More than just sustain you. He wanted his spirit revived. God saw the wrong that was done and how Joseph was hated, but he used that to propel him to be governor over all the land and spare his own people. And Israel said, it is enough. It is enough. My son, Joseph, my son is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. What did David say? I would have fainted, except I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Folks, I want to see it here. I want to see miracles here. I want to see these people we're praying for getting healed. I want to see a broken heart mended here. It's not always over there, folks. It's right here. And it's all around us. We just got to see it. We just got to tap into it. We hear about it, but let's participate with it. Amen. Not just hear about, oh, in heaven. No, right here. Right here on earth, we can have these things. It is heaven on earth. Having God in your heart is heaven on earth. The princes of this world saw Christ, heard his messages, and crucified him. Not knowing, this is what I'm trying to teach you. The scripture that we quote so often, eyes have not seen, came on the heels of him saying, they crucified me and didn't know it. What is right in front of you that you don't know? You're seeing it, but you don't see it. You hear it, but you don't hear it. That could be yours if you just love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. Amen. As you stand tonight, why sit here till we die? Why believe, well, in the resurrection, Lord? I know it's all going to be in the resurrection. I want to see the goodness of the Lord. Close your eyes right where you're at. I want to see the goodness of the Lord right here in the land of the living. Amen. Amen. I wonder tonight, what are you laying up in store? What are you laying up in store? Check your storehouse. Let me have your attention just a couple of minutes. That lady right there has laid up some stuff in store for me. Not for herself, for me. You need to be laying up in store for those kids, because the day will come. They'll need to draw something back out of that storehouse that Mama taught them. The day will come, they'll go, I remember Mama praying with us. I remember, they're going to go back to that storehouse. That's that storehouse. And you're going to build it while they're not using it and lay something in store. Then when they need it, they're going to go back to the storehouse and go, oh my God, I'm glad that this is here. I'm glad I had a praying mom. I'm glad she told me those Bible stories, because now I can make it through this famine. What are you laying up in store? David constantly thought about building God a house. It was always on his mind. It just got to him one day. He said, here I am in my cedar home. I just can't take it anymore. God's been so good to me. I'm going to build God a house. It's time I'm going to build him a house. And he said, in my time of trouble, I laid up stones. I laid up timbers. I laid up gold. I laid up silver. Because I always wanted to build God a house. And he had a storehouse of all these things. And the Lord said, you ain't going to use it. Solomon's going to use it. You laid it up for him. Amen. What are you laying up? What are you laying up for your children and for the days to come? Folks, I'm telling you, we're going to need God. This world is getting worse. I need him more today than I ever needed him before. Amen. Tonight, why don't you raise your hands while they sing a song, and let's pray, God, let me add to my storehouse. Amen. Let me put prayers in my storehouse. Let me put tears in my storehouse. Hallelujah. Lord, that when I come into the days that I need you, Lord, it will be there, God. Hallelujah. I can't draw out if I don't put in. Oh, God, let me put some time into the storehouse. Let me put some effort into the storehouse, God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some energy into the storehouse, Lord. So when I get weak, God, I can draw that back out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Help us tonight, God, to realize that we've got to lay up for the future, Lord, of the things that will come upon this earth. Oh, God, open my eyes to see the things of God. Open my heart, God, that I may know the wisdom and the hidden wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may think, well, you know, I've lived most of my life. Maybe so, but it's not too late to store things. You that have lost children, you can store up prayers that last forever. Prayers never die. Pray for those kids. I don't care how wayward they are. You may not see them coming to the Lord, but lay them prayers up and store them up in the mind of God. I attribute my children being here to the Lord and the Lord only. But I'll tell you, when I was much younger and my kids were just little bitty, I saw other kids and I'm like, man, I hope my kids don't give me the trouble that... But you never know. But this I knew. I can help those kids because they need trouble. They're in trouble. And I poured my heart into kids when mine were little, saying, God, I may need someone to pour their heart into mine. Because sometimes other people can do more for your children than you can do for them. Because it's their friends that lead them astray. It's not you. It's other people. So tonight, it's never too late to lay up things for other people and even yourself. You won't pray enough for those kids, I promise you. You won't pray enough for them. But we can't wait until we have nothing in store. Oh, the famine hit. Check the cupboard. I better start praying. No. That's good, but it's a little late. It's a little late. He said, if you can't cross Jordan while it's low, how will you cross at the swelling of Jordan? If you can't run with the footmen, how will you run with the horses? So he's telling us, get ready now. Store this thing up now so when the day comes. Now, let me ask you something. One guy told me one time, brother, he said, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I'd have saved more money. Because he's run out of money. Because he didn't know he's going to live that long. Joseph had Pharaoh had a dream for 7 years. They saw. So how many years did they say? One? Seven. Why? Because the famine was going to go 7 years. And what is seven? The year they completion. So what he's telling is just keep storing. Keep storing. Keep storing. Keep storing. Because you're going to need it. You're going to need it. Amen. Let's pray before we go. God, I'm thankful for your mercies and your grace. Lord, let the word of God somehow sink into our hearts and our lives that the things you have in store for us today, God, that is right before us, the peace, the joy, the love, the things that you have, it's for us today. And we hear about it, we read about it, but God, we need to participate in it. And the way we're going to participate is to love you with all of our hearts. And then when those days of unrest come, there's something in the storehouse to draw back out. Keep us, Lord, I pray, during the time of famine as this world goes through it. For truly, there is a famine for the hearing of the word of the Lord in this day we live in. Bring us through this famine in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you so much. I'll see you Sunday morning. Amen.